back to Logical with Ludmila. I'm Ludmila Malova, the managing partner of a Dubai-based law firm. In today's episode, we'll discuss the regulations governing real estate developers in the Emirate of Dubai and what it takes to be a developer. Over the last 15 years, real estate regulations for developers have evolved significantly. It is not as simple as just setting up a company and starting to advertise or collect from investors. Developers must first navigate a series of stringent licensing, approval, and financial requirements before they can even begin marketing or their projects or collecting funds. This regulatory framework was introduced following the global financial market back in 2008. Back then, many developers relied almost entirely on stage payment from investors without owning the land or without securing adequate funds to begin construction, which ultimately resulted in many incomplete projects and financial instability. So the current framework, in Dubai in particular, is designed to prevent this from happening again. With regards to the legal framework that governs real estate developers in Dubai, there are two sets of categories of laws. One category applies specifically to real estate industry, and the other category is more broadly or generally applicable to different types of businesses. So in order for any new investor or potential developer to enter the market, it's essential that they understand what these laws are. And this, by the way, is just a sample of laws, perhaps some of the more important ones. But there are many other ones that are imperative to understand before anyone decides to start developing or investing in the real estate market as a developer. So let's start with the first real estate-centric or real estate-specific laws in Dubai, once again, because this is a Dubai real estate landscape, and every emirate does have its own real estate laws. So the first law is law number 8 of 2007, which concerns escrow accounts for real estate developers. And this law regulates the use of escrow accounts to protect investor funds and payment misuse of off-plan proceeds. And as per this law, developers are required to deposit a minimum of 20% of the project value into an escrow account before starting sales. This is really important to highlight. Back in the old days, there was no requirement for developers to show any kind of funds before they were able to market, advertise projects, and certainly before collecting money. And so in many cases, this back in the old days, I mean 15 years ago or 17 years ago, to be a developer, all they needed to do was basically call themselves the developers, and many at the time misused the system and start collecting funds before actually securing any of the regulatory requirements. But more importantly, they didn't even have, in many cases, financial ability to fund the project. They were almost specifically relying on investors' stage payments to finance the project. So it was with that in mind that this law was introduced, ultimately requiring developers to first prove that they were financially liquid, they were financially in a position to actually build. This may sound pretty basic, but there was a time when a lot of companies obtained developer's license, called themselves developers, but in fact did not either have the expertise in developing anything or let alone money or financial ability to actually fund the project. That is one important law to remember, because even today, we are often hear from a lot of new developers into the market, and I use perhaps developers a little bit too loosely, because we have seen a number of investors coming into the market calling themselves developers, and perhaps somewhere in their home countries they are developers, but for the purposes of the UAE and Dubai in particular, they're not yet licensed developers. And although they're new in the market and they're just starting up, they're already starting to advertise to market properties before they've obtained any of the licenses, and many of them are even starting to collect funds. So I just wanted to highlight once again that technically speaking, all that is improper. And that's because there's a whole series of requirements that must be met before they're able to collect a single dirham, really. And one of which is a very important one, and that is this escrow law, which requires for them to have 20% of the full project value basically in their accounts, liquid. They have to prove to the authorities that, in fact, they have those funds to start the project. Now, this means that before you're even able to show that, you need to actually have the project more or less estimated and designed in order to be able to estimate or set a value to it, because 20% is the percentage of the estimated value of the project. So before you set the 20%, you also obviously need to design the project. So that's one important requirement to keep in mind. So anyone who is entering the market into the UAE, you need to make sure you have in addition to the various licensing requirements, which I will shortly go through, the developers will need to populate their accounts with this 20% of the project value for every project. Another law is the Executive Council Resolution Number 6 of 2010, which requires developers to own or control land and secure all necessary approvals before starting construction or selling off planned units. This is another one of those important requirements and perhaps evolution. I have to tell you, it certainly evolved before my eyes here, because there was a time that a lot of developers would actually did not own land, and they would, for example, secure a contract with the master developer and would put down, let's say, 10% of the value of the property, and then on the back of that start marketing the project to investors, to end users, while not owning the land themselves yet. So imagine how many risks and liabilities that particular arrangement used to cause. For example, if the developer was unable to start paying for the remainder of the land, because remember, we started with 10% of the property value or land value was only paid to the master developer or the owner of the land. If only 10% is paid, and what if the developer is not able to pay the other 10%? What if not able to pay the remainder of the land? So then there's a dispute between the developer and the owner of the land or the master developer, and then the master developer in that particular case has full legal authority to cancel that project and or the contract and take the land back. So what happens with all those end users that have already signed up and started investing in this project, which was going to be designed on a plot of land that the developer no longer owned or no longer even had a control over? So this is just one example and by the way, there are many cases like that, but this is an example or perhaps a reason why this specific law was introduced, and that is that the developers, if they, before they start selling or marketing any projects, they're required to own or control the land. Control obviously may mean that maybe some other arrangement, maybe they mortgage the land or take a loan over that plot of land. But in one way or another, they have to control it, which means that there isn't a third party, such as like the master developer or the owner of the land, who can ultimately undermine that arrangement. Because the way developments work is that first there's the land, then there's the building. So you can design the building, you can start selling units in this building, but ultimately, if the land goes away from under the building, you have nothing. So this is why, in addition to the 20% of the project value being deposited into the escrow account, the requirement of owning or controlling the land was introduced in 2010. The other law is Law Number 13 of 2008, which regulates the Interim Real Estate Property Register. And this governs the registration of real estate projects and off-plan sales to protect investors and interests. So this is another example of a law that ultimately established a system and a requirement for developers to register all of their transactions with end users into this system, which is called the Interim Register. So, and what it is, it's Think of it this way. So whenever you, as a developer, you have a contract, you sign a contract between you and the investor, where is this contract registered? There was a time, and this was, again, during my time here in Dubai, that there wasn't a system to register these contracts. So this is in 2008, the new law was introduced that required for all developers on any disposition of real estate, which meaning transfer of real estate interest, i.e. as a developer, when you're building something off plan, you design a building, let's say 100 units, and you start selling these 100 units one at a time. For every one of these transfers, you need to there's a requirement to register that transfer in this DLD property register. What investors receive in return is what's called OCUD, or interim register. So it's a form of a title deed, but this is a title deed that exists for projects that are still being built. So off-plan projects, incomplete projects. But it's a confirmation that that particular interest, investor's interest in that property, is officially registered in a centralized database that is managed by the authority that regulates the real estate market in Dubai. So this is a very important requirement, and it's imperative to highlight that this means that basically any kind of, and that's how the law is drafted, any disposition of the property, meaning that any, even if you take a deposit to this particular unit, so technically speaking, developers right away are required to register that particular transaction in this interim registry and obtain a return, this OCUD certificate from the land department, which they will then give a copy to the investor. So that's technically speaking is the protocol for developers to be able to legally start disposing of their real estate interests or selling these off-plan projects. Sounds pretty simple, and yet to this day, but I have to tell you, so the law was introduced in 2008, but to this day we see developers who are continuing to transfer interest in various off-plan properties and specific units without issuing the OCUD registration. So in many cases, and this is happening now, they've taken money from investors already almost a year ago, and they have still not issued OCUD. What that means is that if they haven't issued OCUD or this interim registration, is because there is something amiss in terms of that developer's legal status with the authorities. And it's because if the developer is properly registered with the land department, then OCUD it becomes sort of like almost like a procedural measure, and it's very easy for the developer to almost instantly issue OCUD certificate if they have all the right documents already deposited with the land department. It should be a fairly streamlined and easy and efficient process if everything else is in order. So a lot of these recent examples which we've seen suggest to me that perhaps recently there have been a number of perhaps another surge of interest and excitement to become real estate developers, to launch new projects, and to start advertising, collecting money, but prior to actually completing the full legal due diligence that's required for developers to go through before they legally can operate as real estate developers in Dubai. There is another law, which is Law Number 19 of 2017, which established the process for handling a purchaser non-compliance and developer's rights when the contract is breached. That's one of the laws that sets out kind of a roadmap for when and how developers may be able to retain some of the investor's money if the investor breaches their side of the agreement and stop paying towards the project. So that's another body of law which developers these days cite quite often. And that's, for example, if the developer has not completed the project, there's one of the terms, for example, is if the developer has completed the project up to 80%, then they are allowed to keep the full amount of the funds deposited by the investor in the event the investor breaches. So there's a whole sort of gradation of that's based on the completion of the status of the completion of the project that ultimately allows developer to retain some portion of investors' money. And then there was another regulation, 2013, that was the Executive Council Resolution Number 30, which set the fees for property registration, transfer of ownership, and other real estate transactions. So this is also the law that kind of has evolved over time in terms of specific fees, but this is the law that defines what the cost for owning or for registering and securing real estate investment interest in Dubai. So, for example, when an investor buys a property ready or off plan, that particular transfer has to, in order to protect the investor's interest, has to be registered with the land department. And that the land department then has a centralized database of data, which clearly states that that particular unit belongs to that particular investor. So that's a security assurance for the investors, obviously, and also for the government to have a clear, comprehensive database of information that also obviously helps them with the transparency and gauging the market, but it's a win-win all around because it helps the government secure the interests of the investors and obviously for investors to have the assurance that their interests are protected. So to do this, then investors are required to pay the DLD registration fee or Dubai Land Department fee, which started out at back in 2013, it was 2%, and later it was increased to 4%. So today it's 4% of the value of the property. So that fee is paid to the land department directly, so paid to Dubai government and not to the developer. Now this is another interesting concept which has evolved over time. So now the rule is such that any time that disposition of real estate interest that I mentioned earlier occurs, i.e. whenever the developer transfers the interest to an investor, even if it's just that for that one unit, in order for them to register it in Okud or have the Okud certificate issued, and Okud once again is being interim registry, so like an interim title deed, if you will, in order for that interim certificate being issued, the investor has to pay 4% to the land department. And so in exchange, they get their Okud certificate that confirms their formal ownership of that unit in this centralized database that's supervised and owned by the government. And back in the old days, furthermore, now, and this perhaps is the last a number of years, I cannot remember how many years back, but now that 4% has to be paid even basically at the very first time that you transfer any kind of money to the developer and sign the MOU, sign the SBA, whatever the agreement might be. Even if the property has not even been completed or even been off the ground, so or if the ground has not even been broken. And this, by the way, was not always the case. Back in the old days, all you needed to do, you would still get an Okud certificate, but only cost 1,000 dirhams. So investors would only pay 1,000 dirhams to the government to get the Okud certificate, but the remainder, but the 2% registration fee, they had to pay once the project was complete. Now that is no longer the case, is that whenever you buy, even if the project was just launched and the ground has not even been broken, you right away need to pay 4% to the land department. So all those investors, just also something to be aware of, so if you, whenever you pay the developer, whatever the down payment is, you always pay 4% right away, 4% that has to be transferred to the land department. Whenever you pay that 4%, that means you right away need to get the Okud certificate because these 4% ultimately are being exchanged for the Okud certificate. So if you're one of those investors who have paid the 4% of the developer, and do not yet have the Okut certificate, there is some significant breach of the law that's happening on the developer's front. Some other laws that are relevant. One is a decree number 31 of 2016 concerning the mortgage of granted land, which ultimately allows developers to mortgage or dispose of granted land on a freehold basis without restrictions. Another law, and this is perhaps less, this is not perhaps, but this is less of a real estate centric law and just of a general law that applies at a federal level, which is the UAE's fairly still new tax laws. The federal tax authority that now oversees all tax regulations. And so the specific two laws that apply to developers as they apply to all the other businesses are the VAT law, which is the 5% on most real estate sales and leases, and also the corporate tax law, which is the 9% that applies on profits above 375,000 dirhams. So developers are required to register with the Federal Tax Authority, or FTA, and file tax returns annually, which means that even if they have not really broken the ground yet, even if they haven't started collecting deposits from investors, even if they're still in the process of obtaining all the NOCs and approvals from the regulatory authorities, as long as they already have a license as a developer, they are required to register with the federal tax authorities and maintain their obligations. And then remember, so this the corporate tax applies to profits. So while developers may not have profits until the project is completed, however, they do have the obligation to register with FTA right away and to also annually submit tax returns. Obviously, the payment of the tax, the corporate tax, will depend on whether there is a profit or not, and I imagine until the project is complete, there is no profit, but the obligation to submit tax returns remains. And this is a very new law, and I think this year, 2025, will be the first year by, I think, September, when businesses will have to start submitting tax returns. So this is a big change for all of the UAE, all the businesses in the UAE, and certainly one that also applies to real estate developers. Another interesting and I guess interesting perhaps for some frustrating update, legislative update that also applies to developers and not necessarily specific to real estate is the anti-money laundering laws in the UAE. And there's a whole series of those regulations. In short terms, they are referred as AML or anti-money laundering. So, for example, in 2018, the UAE at a federal level issued a federal decree law number 20 on anti-money laundering and combating the financing of terrorism law, and that's what it's called. And also, subsequent to that, it implemented certain regulations, which is the Cabinet Resolution number 10 of 2019, for real estate developers and designating real estate developers as what's called designated non-financial business and businesses and professions, or DNFBPs. This is a bit of a term of art, and as long and complicated as it is, it actually is used these days a lot more often than it used to before. And what does that mean? So if the real estate developers are designated or considered to be DNFBPs, or again, the designated non-financial businesses and professions, they are subject to a number of regulations. Some of these regulations are, for example, customer due diligence. This is the requirement that developers verify the identity of each buyer and also the source of funds, and as well as identifying the ultimate beneficial owner of all of the investors, and requiring developers in general to conduct enhanced due diligence for high-risk transactions such as cash purchases and politically exposed persons. So yes, these regulations that we so often hear about that apply to legal professionals, to accountants, and to consulting companies, they also apply to developers, at least as far as the UAE's AML regulations are concerned, on paper. The other requirement for developers is what's called the suspicious transactions reportings. And this is the obligation for developers to report suspicious transactions to the UAE Financial Intelligence Unit, We have those fancy terms here too. And this includes transactions with unusual payment structures or involving entities from high-risk individuals. Well, what does it mean in simple terms? Is basically whenever a developer believes that any of the investors either come from high-risk jurisdictions or there's some sort of suspicious activity, technically speaking, as per this law, they're required to report this to the UAE's Financial Intelligence Unit. Another requirement under this same designation is for developers to keep records, very clear records, and that's requiring to maintain records for all real estate transactions and customer information and all of their compliance measures that they apply to their customers and their transactions for a period of 5 years. Another requirement is what's called the compliance programs, and that's every developer must introduce very specific compliance protocols and policies in their practice, and which ultimately implements internal AML compliance programs, including employee training and appointing a compliance officer. What this means is that every developer is required to educate the relevant staff, the relevant employees on AML requirements and regulations, and specifically designate one person who kind of oversees all of those transactions and employees who deal with these types of transactions. And another interesting, perhaps, you know, for those who do a lot of business in Dubai, you might find it interesting, is that the requirement for developers to report to the authorities any cash transactions exceeding 55,000 dirhams. So technically speaking, the AML regulations do apply to developers, and this specific regulation or requirement is one of those examples of the AML protocols and requirements, and therefore the developers are obligated to notify the authorities if there's any sort of proceeds that are being given to them for more than 50,000 dirhams in cash. Which I guess the other way to say it is that any transactions, significant transactions that are in cash, cannot be necessarily conducted unless they're supported with documentation and ultimately disclosed to the authorities as such. You know, some of the other, again, we're still talking about AML, some of the other requirements that apply for developers is what's called a risk-based approach, and that means that developers are required to conduct a risk assessment and apply enhanced scrutiny to high-risk clients or transactions. So I guess this kind of is self-explanatory, but, you know, I know a lot of developers would sort of pause and ponder what that means and how to apply this specific standard in their practice. But technically speaking, you know, developers are required to have a very very strict protocols in assessing risks and being very vigilant to be in dealings with high-risk clients. Just that, with regards to AML requirements or the anti-money laundering and compliance requirements, the UAE's Ministry of Economy is the authority that regulates all the AML compliance for real estate developers. The Central Bank of the UAE and the Financial Intelligence Unit are responsible for oversight and enforcement of AML requirements. So what that means is that since these regulations were introduced, and obviously there's a little bit always kind of a soft launch and an evolution after that, that we have seen a lot more examples of this, the Central Bank, the Financial Intelligence Unit, and the Ministry of Economy having a lot more involvement, engagement with the real estate industry and the developers in particular. And developers, real estate brokers, law firms, accounting firms, and requiring from all these DNFBPs compliance proof and certain substantiating certain transactions. And we have seen this kind of engagement also intensify with regards to real estate developers. So, and, you know, obviously in terms of why such stringent requirements apply, it's, I guess, fairly well known that, generally speaking, real estate is known as a channel for for potentially laundering large sums of money. So in off-plan properties and bulk purchases using complex corporate structures usually raise red flags. And payments from offshore accounts or in cryptocurrencies are considered high risk. So for whatever it's worth, developers or those who are about to go into the development business in Dubai should be aware of this and be mindful that, you know, in the event they are found to be non-compliant, the penalties can be quite severe. So, for example, there are fines that range from anything 50,000 dirhams, that's the lowest, all the way to 5 million dirhams. So that's just the monetary fine. And then there is obviously the risk of business suspension or license revocation. Not to mention the criminal liability, including imprisonment for responsible individuals. So this is, it's kind of a theoretical of a more technical level. It's pretty serious body of law that applies to real estate developers that historically has not really been thought much or considered much by real estate developers. And even since the law was introduced, because as I mentioned, there was a bit of a soft launch. So for a while, developers felt that they were either not subject to these laws or sort of immune from their application and enforcement. Well, it is no longer the case. So as things progress and we move into the next stage. It's just a reminder for developers to be very, very vigilant, be very careful, familiarize themselves of all these regulations, have very strict compliance protocols because that is one of the requirements, and have dedicated personnel to manage this particular part of the business, and have very tight protocols and reporting requirements so as to ensure that they don't fall amiss some kind of regulations. So these are basically in terms of the laws that apply, right? It's for in every kind of industry, there is underlying kind of a legal framework that governs that particular industry. So as far as real estate development in Dubai in particular is concerned, that's kind of a body of law and some of the more notable laws. There are many other ones that are also very important, but let's kind of stop with these for the time being. So that's the legal framework. Now there is kind of, if you will, the business or the practical standpoint. So now you know what the laws are that apply to real estate developers. Now, how do you become a real estate developer? So the first part it's not just opening up a company as was the case before. There was a time, my time here, all it was is just open up a license and you're a developer. Now for developers, there's a whole sort of a staged process. So the first one is obviously to apply for what's called a commercial license. That's a license from, since we're talking about Dubai, in Dubai it will be a DED license, or Department of Economic Development, which is the licensing authority on mainland Dubai. And then obviously if you're based in any specific free zones like the DIFC, they also have their own authorities. You'd have to register there. But ultimately if you're designing also or building something within a free zone, then you would have to register within that specific free zone. In other words, you would have to get a corporate license or commercial license from one of these places, geographical places where you're building. So for example, if you just want a generic license and you do it on the mainland, but as you, let's say, and you're developing something on sort of geographically that falls under the mainland jurisdiction, but if you, after developing a few projects, then decide to develop something within a free zone, let's say DMCC or IVSA or JAFSA, you also will be required to obtain another commercial license to be able to operate within that specific free zone. Now, that commercial license could be a branch of the mother or the parent company, or it could be a completely new company. So that's from a commercial license perspective. And the license also has to be a specific license that's for real estate developers. So it's not just a consultancy license or some generic business license. Again, as in the past, we saw a few too many times. And that's sort of the special code for developers. So that commercial license has to be for real estate developers under the specific code. And then as part of that process, obviously, developers need to submit, or companies that apply for developer's license need to submit a whole other series of documents to that specific licensing authority, such as a tenancy contract for the property that they will be renting, or from which they will be set up and running a business. That's one of the requirements in having a commercial license. And also they will need to show the title deed for the land on which the project will be built. So that's another important requirement to obtain this kind of a license. So, and that has to be either title deed or some sort of proof of partial ownership of that land. And that's in order to obtain the license. So that's the commercial license. So once you have the commercial license, think of it as like as a company license. So that only applies to your commercial, gives you the legal existence, right, as a legal entity. Then you need to layer that on with specific licenses from RERA and DLD, right? Because those are the authorities that govern real estate industry. So once you have the commercial license in place, then the developer must seek the approval from the real estate regulatory agency, which is RERA in Dubai, and also the Dubai Land Department. And that obviously includes registering the project with DLD, so that each project has to be registered with DLD. Then they have to secure a no objection certificate from the master developer, and the master developer is the entity that owns that specific land. And then they have to submit approved architectural and engineering plans to DLD and RERA, and then register the sales and purchase agreements for the project with RERA. And then open RERA-approved escrow account before they even allowed to advertise or market the specific project. So what that means is that before developers are legally allowed to advertise these off-plan projects, and certainly before collecting any funds, there's a whole set of requirements that they must do. And all of them required to be basically officially registered with the government authorities, in this case DLD and RERA, such as the project itself, the design for the project has to be registered with DLD, right? It has to be approved and registered. Before it's approved and registered, obviously you need to design the project, with specific engineers, and so submit to DLD for their review and approval. And so that project has to first be designed and then approved by and signed off by the government authority. Then on the back, once you have that project, then every developer has to then have the legal documents, such as the sales purchase agreement, or often referred to SPA. It's called sales and purchase agreement, or SPA. They also have the templates, also have to be drafted and approved by the authorities and registered with the authorities. What that means is that, and by the way, they have to be in both languages, English and Arabic. So it's this formal document that becomes the underlying legal document or instrument when developers are starting to sell their projects or their units to end users. They have to give them these agreements, which will ultimately need to be executed. So each one of the template agreement has to be approved and registered by the government authority. So that's very important. So it's not just a matter of, okay, well, I decided to sell the project. As a developer, I've got my license, so now I'm going to draft whatever agreement I want to draft, and that's the agreement that I will require my end users to sign with me, as used to be the case. No, now that specific agreement has to be registered, approved and registered with DLD and RERA, and only then that's the template that has to be used with all the investors. And then, so now we have the developer has to be registered, and the land has to be registered to the developer. Now the developer has to set up have the project approved and registered with RERA and the land department. They have the contract has to be finalized, approved, and registered with the land department. And then they need to open up a specific escrow account for each project. So all of this whole series of requirements has to be completed before developers are able to advertise or market any of their projects. So I can't reiterate this enough, because once again, The real estate market in Dubai has recently been booming again. That's another up cycle, which is great for the country, great for Dubai, great for a lot of investors here. But as a result, we're seeing a lot more appetite for newcomers to become developers, or even for existing developers to launch new projects. And in the process, we see quite a bit of short circuiting and the shortcomings in terms of the protocols that are required for a developer to actually start advertising and start accepting money. So that's technically speaking against the law, and I know a lot of developers continue to do it because they haven't really been, I guess, penalized, but the law is what it is. So just basically buyer beware. If you are a developer that are operating outside of this legal framework, just be mindful. It's just a matter of time before things will change, because the law is there to be enforced and applied, and a lot more people are now aware of the UAE legal system, the UAE laws, and the UAE courts. So there's a lot more precedents that clearly confirm the developer's obligation and the investor's rights, and therefore is a lot more information. And so that means investors are less reluctant, as perhaps as compared to many years before, to bring their cases to court. So that's just something to bear in mind. It's really not worth expediting the process and kind of leapfrogging some of these requirements in the name of a sort of a quick profit. With regards to also another important, we've kind of talked about some already, but in terms of financial commitment, is that the escrow law, the developers under the escrow law, developers are required to open an escrow account with a local bank and deposit 20% of the project's construction value before beginning the sales. And then there's an escrow agent, and this escrow agent ultimately then manages the transfer, the management of the escrow funds for the various construction milestones of the project. And as a general rule, the escrow agent retains 5% of the total value until 1 year after the project completion to cover potential penalties and potential liabilities. So if the project is not completed, then the escrow agent is also required to either ensure the project completion, so by, for example, working with authorities to help find another developer or another owner for that project, or ultimately refund the money to the depositors. So that's the idea of the escrow system and the escrow account and the escrow agent, is to, once again, to ensure that investors' monies are protected. So with regards to, benefits for developers in investing in Dubai, there are so many different areas. First of all, it's a freehold system, which means that foreign developers, foreign companies, foreign individuals can own land outright without any conditions. It's not a leasehold, it's a freehold. They're allowed, and as time goes on, more and more geographical areas within Dubai are being designated as a freehold for foreign investors. So there's a lot of great areas that are open for foreign investment, and certainly Palm Jumeirah is being one. Downtown Dubai, Dubai Marina, Jumeirah Lakes Towers, Business Bay. I mean, there's so many more districts that have been already designated, and new ones are being designated as freehold. One of the more recent benefits that was introduced that helped further motivate and stimulate the real estate market is the introduction of the Golden Visa, right? So the Golden Visa for developers, the Golden Visa for investors. So that kind of also raised the appetite in foreign investment in the UAE at different levels, at a corporate level, at individual level. And that's because if you own property now in Dubai that's worth more than 2 million dirhams, and then you can offer as a developer, for example, that if you're selling properties to the end users, you can offer them golden visas as an incentive to further incentive to invest in Dubai. Now, that in the past, these visas, property visas, were only allowed once the property is finished. Now, there is a possibility to actually obtain the golden visa even before the project is finished under certain requirements. You know, it depends on who the developer is, how it's, you know, under what designation they're approved with DLD, and also need to make sure that at least 20, at least 2 million dirhams worth of funds towards a specific project has already been deposited or paid to the developer or to the authorities. And which means that, let's say, if you bought a project, you bought a property that's worth 10 million dirhams and it's still only 10% of construction, you still have many more years to wait until it's finished. But if you've already paid as part of your installments more than 2 million dirhams, then already you qualify to obtain the golden visa. So that's one of the benefits for developers. So all those companies that are looking to set up as developers, that's just be mindful that this is a great incentive to offer to your investors, but you do need to have certain protocols ironed out and registered with the authorities to qualify for it. So this is another reason why you want to have all your kind of ducks in a row to make sure that when the time comes, you actually, in the land department's registry, that particular developer is regarded as one that would qualify for a golden visa for projects that are still only in development stages. So, and then there's perhaps a little more controversial topic about the forms of payment. We've talked a lot about the AML requirements in the UAE, and that as they apply to the real estate developers and in Dubai in general. We've seen in the last few years, obviously, the UAE has kind of led the way in terms of digital services, digital tools, and anything to do with sort of smart government, e-government, which also includes cryptocurrency, the virtual assets, right? I mean, the UAE even introduced the Dubai Virtual Assets Regulatory Authority, or VARA, so specific authority to regulate crypto transactions, which shows you, kind of indicates Dubai's overall stance and appetite for these alternative payment methods. And there was a time in the recent past where developers, in fact, were also authorized and were taking cryptocurrency as payments towards their off-plan sales, or basically towards their off-plan or property sales. And it took some time. In the beginning, there were different arrangements in terms of using like an intermediary to accept crypto. And then it got to the point where actually developers themselves were offering through their own portals the ability to buy with cryptocurrency. At this point, it's a little bit of a temperamental way of payment, because some accounts vary, but it appears that as we go into the kind of middle of 2025, some of these crypto transactions, crypto payments, vis-a-vis directly through developers, have a little bit kind of tapered off. It could be because one of those examples of application of the country's AML regulations on the real estate industry that perhaps will require a longer period of time for developers to offer this as a standard form of payment, or perhaps it's just kind of weeding out some of the developers and only reserving this form of payment for certain developers that have better reputation. So this is still an evolving space, but generally speaking, cryptocurrency was an acceptable form of payment. But that's a space that needs to be watched quite closely, because it is evolving and not always forward. Sometimes it sort of pauses for a while. It's kind of related to that is the another form of payment, and that's in cash. So as I mentioned earlier, since developers are subject to the country's AML requirements, technically speaking, anything that that involves cash has to be properly documented and reported to the authorities. So from kind of accounts that we're hearing, while not so long in the past, developers were still working with cash a lot more and using cash a lot more. Since the regulations have been kind of growing and becoming more and more stringent, we're hearing that kind of form of payment has kind of phased out for the time being, at least. And so developers no longer deal with cash, in other words. Certainly, as far as regulations are concerned, they should be very mindful about dealing with cash. But in practical terms, that seemed to be kind of a slower adopted law, if you will. But it seems that things have changed since then, and the requirements are more stringent, and perhaps the oversight is a lot more stringent as well. In terms of cash payments, developers need to be very, very careful. That's kind of an important topic to highlight for any of the new developers who are interested in all too quickly to accept money from investors. Be very careful before you do that. Make sure that you got all your ducks in a row, that you have all your regulatory requirements in place, and that you have all the documentation to prove that you have been compliant. Because as time goes on, the UAE is obviously the legal framework is becoming a lot more evolved and a lot better regulated. So I guess that's basically kind of concludes the discussion on real estate developers regulations and requirements for the Emirate of Dubai. Once again, just to kind of summarize for anyone who is interested to either become a developer, sort of a new company or a new business coming into Dubai, wanting to enter the space of real estate development, or a developer already has a license and now is launching or looking to launch a new project. So the requirements are fairly lengthy. First, you start with registering the commercial license for the real estate transaction. You need to make sure that you have control or ownership of the specific land for which you will designate the property or the project. That you have all the plans and for specific real estate project. Properly engineered and designed and ultimately approved and registered by the land department, that the underlying sales and purchase agreement, or SPA, is also approved and registered by RERA and the land department, and then there's an escrow account in place, and that's all that you have to, and plus obviously the RERA license. And you need to make sure you have all this before you're, in legal terms, before you're legally allowed to start advertising, let alone start collecting money from purchasers. So those are kind of like a high level summary of the requirements. Each one of them is fairly nuanced. Be very careful, be vigilant, because certainly the enforcement of the various regulations, including AML regulations, are being stepped up. So for all of those who are new in the market, keep this in mind and continue to stay informed, because as I mentioned, and I gave you some examples, some of these laws, even if they've been on the books for a while, they may not necessarily be as actively enforced, but as time goes on, more and more of them are being more actively enforced and become just a matter of practice in life. With that, we conclude another episode of Logical. Thank you for tuning in, and you can find me on various socials like TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and many more. Where I provide regular updates and latest laws and regulations in the UAE. And if you are considering launching a real estate project in Dubai or have any related queries, do feel free to contact us for tailored legal guidance through our website, which is lylawyers.com. Until next time, stay safe and stay informed.